guys. Welcome back to another episode of Healthy Glow Podcast. I'm Gloria, your host, and today I'm here with Dorina, a professional home organizer of Tidy Our Home. Dorina helps people declutter and reorganize their homes by creating neat and tidy spaces and bringing positive changes to their lives. She consults clients with various types of organizing projects, including home or office organization, moving and preparation, downsizing, and any other daunting organization project from start to finish. Let's welcome Dorina to the show. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast, Dorina. I'm excited to hear all about organizing the home and tidying up.
Hi, Gloria. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Let's just get started by having you tell us a little bit about your background and walking us through how you became a professional home organizer.
Oh, that's a good question. It's actually has been a long journey. I started my career as a physical therapist and an occupational health specialist. I was into academic and research and stuff like that. And I specialize in ergonomics, which is planning and creating a safe and healthy and productive work or activity environment. And I led the ergonomic and occupational program in research and development centers in Intel, which is a high-tech company. So it was kind of an adventure, all my career path. At some point, I decided to make a switch in my career and to be kind of able to spend more time with my family and not work 9 to 5 necessarily. So I combined my knowledge, experience, and passion into my home organizing business, my own home organizing business. And I was kind of excited, you know, to like work for myself and to be able to help families create well-organized environment in their own homes. And since then, I love what I do. And I think this is the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Great. I'm curious, were you always good at organizing things like growing up and keeping your desk and your area tidy?
I think I was. I was always like organized, you know, I was tidying up things. I was not obsessed about that. And I did not realize at the time, you know, all the positive effects it has actually on our lives, you know, in like productivity and state of mind and well-being and stuff like that. But when I started actually studying it in my ergonomics studies and my occupational health studies, I started to get more curious about it. And as I went on and studied more about the effects of actually organizing and tidying up on our lives deeper than just, you know, how it looks, I think it gave me more motivation, you know, to do that and to learn more about that and, you know, to create something more meaningful with that.
Definitely. So what do home organizers do specifically?
So what I actually do is making my clients' lives easier. I simplify their lives. I take them out of that vicious circle of, you know, always thinking about tidying up or always thinking about organizing. And, you know, I'm taking that element out from their back of their minds. So I'm not just, you know, helping them hands-on by simplifying their lives, but I also make it easier for them to maintain it for the long run. I organize everything in an efficient way so, you know, that it will be possible to maintain it in that way. I take care of their donations. I do not leave it there, you know, for them to purge through those bags again and, you know, to take care of that and to figure out what to do with that. I just, you know, take it with me and take it off of their hands. I also help them to create routines, you know, and some kind of rules in their homes, you know, especially for families. kind of habits, you know, for all of the family members, for all of the home members, to keep the home actually neat and tidy, again, to maintain it like that. Because my goal is not to come back there every day or every week or every month, but to make it easier for them to actually, you know, keep it that way for themselves for the long run, as I said. I work a lot with new moms and dads, with new families, because, you know, being a new parent, it doesn't matter if it's a first child or a second child or a third child, is overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So especially, you know, again, with the new baby, you know, on hands, it's hard. So I kind of make it easier for them as well to get into this, you know, new life with a new baby on hands. As an ergonomic specialist, I also do ergonomic assessment of workspaces, especially now during the COVID-19, you know, when a lot of people are working from home. I help people organize their home offices or home, you know, workspaces and, you know, figure out where is the best, you know, to put it, to locate it, how is the best, you know, to actually plan it and organize it, and, you know, ergonomic chairs, desks, stuff like that. So I implement a lot of my knowledge right now. And also, you know, I work a lot with real estate agents, and I help people to prepare their homes for sales or prepare their homes for move. I will work a lot with people who move, you know, from in or out houses, and I simplify the process for them, and actually, you know, being there for them during this challenging time of their lives. Things like that, I definitely help with that as well.
Wow, it's a whole wide range of things that you do. And I really love how you marry your love and education and knowledge with ergonomics and tidying up together, because it actually, now that I think about it, it does go hand in hand. It's both has to do with the workplace and how effective you can be. And definitely, I have been working a 9-to-5 job, just sitting down on a computer. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. I'm pregnant. My back hurts. But even if I keep my space tidy, if I don't have a good chair or a good area where I can be productive, it really goes against what I'm doing. And so I really love how you bring that special ergonomic taste to it. And so, wow, thank you for sharing about that.
Absolutely.
I actually wanted to dive more into the Marie Kondo KonMari method. This totally reminds me of it. And I know it's been a craze for the last year. Is this a method that you recommend to your clients?
I love this girl. That I can say for sure. I think she's amazing as a personality. And I think that the most important part that she did about, you know, home organizing is to actually get into people's minds, to bring it up to an awareness, you know, of the audience. There are a lot of great books and a lot of great organizers and a lot of great authors about home organizing. And some of her techniques are not innovative. They're not necessarily new, but I think that she did a great job placing it on, you know, a plate for everybody, like making it more accessible, making it more understandable, she actually, you know, her zone of genius is to organize, and organizing is to simplify things. So what she did, she simplified the organizing theories and made it, you know, more understandable for everyone. And then she made people, you know, understand that sometimes it doesn't have to be complicated, you know, and by organizing, you know, you can make your life actually simpler. So what I like, you know, most about what she did. I do relate to a lot of things that she actually, you know, talks about in her book and, you know, in her videos, whatever you like to watch, however you like to consume her her information. I love how she talks about, you know, finding a home for everything. I can totally relate to that. I've been doing that for years. I've been explaining that for years to my client and to my audience, that this is the most important part. It's like, you know, it's like things are like people. When we have a home, we feel comfortable. The same goes with every item in our house. So I can totally relate to that. And it can be really, you know, overwhelming when you always have to, you know, figure out where to put things. I like her decluttering system, which is, you know, sort things into categories, decide what stays, what goes. I like how she values, you know, the things that even if we do not like them anymore, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily, you know, trash or that we need to, you know, treat them disrespectfully or, you know, things like that. I like it how she, you know, says that we need to like thank our items because they were loved once, even though we don't love them anymore. Anybody can do it, you know, in their own way. You don't have to actually talk to your items. But I think it's great to, you know, have value for the things that you have, even if you don't need them anymore. So a lot of things that she talks about, I can definitely relate to. Some I relate less.
Thank you for that. Keeping an organized home actually seems like it's definitely more than just the physical aspect of tidying up, like you mentioned before. Will you go into how organizing taps into other aspects of our lives? Because I know for me, when I finally get the time to clean up an area, I feel a lot more free. And because of that, I'm able to have more confidence in other areas of life.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So as I said, I was, you know, a scientist before. I did a lot of research on, you know, different areas of what I did before. So when I started organizing and I started seeing that it actually has deeper effect, you know, in my clients' lives, I went and I studied it even more. And I saw that it's actually, you know, clinically proven that, you know, our surroundings, our environment has a very direct effect on our lives. I, as a mother of three, I can understand, you know, the challenges and all the struggles of moms, especially out there. And my goal is to make, you know, the lives of my clients, you know, easier, as I said before. Unorganized spaces can actually affect our physical and our mental health. For example, when I declutter a kitchen, for example, I can see that it's more inviting and, you know, it has more welcoming ambience and it increases interest in food for picky eaters, for example, or it makes it more, you know, easy to have more healthier nutrition habits or to keep up with, you know, different diets because it's more inviting. You can see what you have. You can control your life better. I can see, you know, bedrooms that are being organized and decluttered. I always say to my clients, imagine and create the vibe that you want in your bedroom. Okay. Just close your eyes and visualize it for yourself. And then, you know, what is a bedroom to you? Is it like about relaxation? Is it about intimacy? So my clients usually report that they have better sleep, that they actually, you know, enjoy their bedrooms more. And one of my clients actually told me that, you know, organizing her bedroom was better than any couple, you know, counseling or relationship counseling. I mean, you know, it goes, you know, for everything. It goes for parents with kids, that you have less battles over, you know, tidying up, over buying new things, new toys. Parents usually, you know, report less stress, less siblings fights, more calm play, more creativity, less overwhelming. So it goes a long way with teenagers, especially. I don't know if you have teenager's mom in your audience, but you know, they have a lot on their mind and they have like a lot in their lives to deal with. And this period of life is very challenging. So when they have a lot of physical clutter around them, it's just, it makes it too overwhelming for them. It's just too much for them. And actually organizing for teenagers is crucial because it makes room for them, you know, to deal better with their lives challenging. And I've seen parents of teenagers that, you know, I always do a follow-up with my clients. So they said, oh my God, they started dressing, you know, more nicely. They started being more socialized. They started, you know, to socialize more. They got more involved in sports activities. Their academic focus, you know, started to get better. I mean, they have like better results in, you know, academic challenges. So it definitely affects our lives in really different ways. Well, I believe many of our listeners can relate to that when the house is cluttered and not organized, we feel more stressed and tired, and we tend to snap more easily, you know, at our kids or at our partners you know, at work. Mm-hmm. So we feel, you know, overwhelmed, and that also affects our physical health, because when we're stressed, then our body produces stress hormones like, you know, cortisol. And that could cause actual illness. It could weaken our immune system. It could reduce bone mass, and, you know, other implications, like it could trigger ADD, ADHD problems. It could trigger allergies. So now think how much it affects us. It affects our kids even more, because think how we are mirroring our surroundings. Our kids mirroring their surroundings even more. So they feel lack of control over their lives, and they feel stressed and anxiety and, you know, low self-esteem. And it can even, again, as I said, trigger some behavioral and social and academic challenges. So yeah, clutter takes our focus and our time and our energy from the really important things during the day and, you know, in our life in general. So, yeah.
Wow. I find that so fascinating that just one aspect of our lives, just like just tidying up can actually bleed into, like the effects can bleed into other areas of our lives. And I attest to that because, so I make an effort to clean my baby's playroom area, which is our entire sunroom, mm-hmm. every night before we go to bed. No matter great. How hard it is, I do that only because I know in the morning, if it's not clean, I feel like there's just so much chaos. Like I walk into chaos, and the entire day I feel like is just so chaotic. Even if nothing is happening, it's mm-hmm. just, I agree. I agree with everything that you said. And it's crazy how just one space can make a difference. And so this actually leads me into a different question that I know I have, and I know many mothers have, is that our home gets really messy and unorganized with little ones running around. Are there any tips on how you can help our moms and me on keeping our home tidied up for as long as possible?
Oh yeah, of course. There are a lot, but I will try to kind of, you know, make it as short as possible and as efficient as possible. Right. By the way, you were talking about the sunroom, you know, but it could be even a hidden place that you do not see every day, mm-hmm. but every time, like a junk drawer, you know, and every time you walk by it, even if it's closed, it's in the back of your mind. It stresses you out, even subconsciously, and your body still produces those stress hormones, even if you do not see it all the time. So that needs to be taken into consideration as well. And you know what? By decluttering and organizing, you can actually reverse those processes and eliminate all these, you know, negative effects on our body and on our lives in general. And when your home is organized, your mind is organized, you know, because again, the mirroring effect. So with kids, let's talk about statistics for for a little bit. An average kid, a 10-year-old kid, let's say, has about 240 toys in average. And that's a lot. Now, I will challenge you, Gloria. Do you know how many do they actually play with on a daily basis out of those 240?
Oh, gosh. I don't even want to guess. Oh, gosh. I feel like it's not even going to be a lot.
It's about 10 to 12.
No.
Yeah. No. I mean, 240.
Wow.
Oh, 240. And they play, I mean, they actually enjoy playing with about 10 to 12. Oh, now, when they have all those 240, it's so overwhelming for them that sometimes they do not even enjoy playing with those 10 to 12 that they would be enjoying if they did not have all this overwhelmment around them.
Oh, interesting.
So with kids, it's very, very important. Though, you know, a lot of items are like it's very overwhelming for everyone, but especially for kids. So, you know, as I said, they're mirroring their surroundings. And if it's unorganized and messy and cluttered and overflowed, then, you know, they will act the same. They will be edgy. They will be irritated. They will be moody, just like us. So the less things there are, the easier it is to tidy and organize them. Now, you mentioned before that you're tidying up their play zone for them. But actually, it's really important to not just to create an organized environment for our kids, but actually to teach them how to create it for themselves, because it gives them a sense of control. It gives them a sense of capability. It gives them, you know, a sense of productivity and confidence. And it actually creates a skill tool for them. It's a toolbox for them, not just for organizing, but, you know, for life in general. They will be more decisive because, you know, if they need to like decide what they want to let go, for example, if you're, you know, decluttering their stuff, then it will help them to, you know, gain the skill of decision making, for example. So less things, that's the key for everything.
Just a quick question. What age do you think is the most ideal to start teaching your children on organization and helping them have that sense of productivity when they do organize?
Any age, even if they're babies, you can talk to them. For example, if you're reading a book to your baby, you can, after you read the book, you can tell them, oh, and now we're going to put the book in its place. Okay. Something like that. Then it gets into their minds just as anything else that you say to them or anything else that you teach them to do. And as soon as you need to accommodate every task that they give them according to age. So as soon as they can actually, you know, hold things, you can tell them to like put it in the bin. You know, they will not recognize necessarily that they're tidying up, but this will be something that will be in their minds subconsciously, like, you know, like a smile or like anything else, like any other skill that they acquire during their development. Mm-hmm. So the sooner, the better. And you know what? The best part is to lead by example. They will see you doing that. And then they will move things around, even if they're babies. And you will tell them, oh, that's great. Let's put this. They moved a car and you will say, oh, that's great. Let's put that car into that car bin, for example. So as soon as you will start implementing those things and talking about those things with them, it will be more natural for them in the future to do that.
I love that.
Yeah. And you know what? A great thing to do with toddlers, especially. I mean, it works for us as adults as well. So any age, you know, with kids at any age, you can do that, to set timers. I mean, think about yourself. If I would tell you, okay, Gloria, could you please organize your kitchen? Or if I would tell you, Gloria, you have 10 minutes to tidy up your kitchen, which gives you more motivation.
Oh, definitely the time.
Right? And you will say, oh, okay, 10 minutes, I can do that, right? And then you do things and you can even finish, you know, in less than 10 minutes, you know, just to clear your surfaces and to tidy up a little bit, that your kitchen will look amazing, right? You don't need more than that usually. But if I will tell you, Gloria, please organize your kitchen, that will sound like, oh gosh, no, no. So that's exactly how kids feel when you tell them, organize your playroom or tidy up your room or, you know, stuff like that. So you need to be more, you need to set timers and to be very specific about the tasks that you want them to do. For example, if the kid is playing with a lot of toys, you can tell them, okay, let's put the cars into the car bin. Okay, not let's organize the toys. Or, you know, those are like older kids, you can tell them instead of, oh, your room is such a mess, please organize your room. Instead of that, you can tell them, could you please put all of your clothes into the laundry bin? And when they're done with that, you can tell, now let's organize the books in one pile. You know, stuff that seems more doable to them, that is more contained, that is more simplified for them. So that is a very like useful and effective thing to do with kids. For younger kids, I would also recommend to do some kind of a rotation. We mentioned before 240 toys. Decide which toys are, you know, you actually need, which you don't really need. Buy less. And then, you know, the toys that you do have, you can rotate them for your kids. For example, put some of them out and then some of them away. And that would do three things. That would make it more interesting for your kids, you know, to play with. Then you will see which ones of the few that they have they are actually playing with and which ones are not. And then you will be able to decide, oh, maybe that even if they have a few and they're not playing with those ones, that maybe they're not, you know, interested in them really. And then, you know, it will make less mess, because the less you have, the less you have to organize. The two, I think, most important tips are make rules and routines. Like, for example, like you mentioned that you're tidying out their play zone. Make it a rule for them as well. Make it a routine for them as well. Do it with them and decide that in your home, in your family, by the end of the day, you know, before dinner or whatever you decide, whatever works for you, the house is tidied up. Everyone is, you know, responsible for their zone. For example, the kids are organizing, you know, their toys. You know, the parents is organizing the kitchen, the other parent is organizing, you know, making dinner or organizing something else. And that's, you know, going to be a routine for you. A very good routine is to make your bed in the morning. You know, people are laughing at that and they're like, okay, that doesn't really do anything, you know, except of just, you know, being looking good. But actually it does, because it set ups your day. Because when you do a simple thing like making your bed, it actually wires your brain to feel more capable. Oh, okay, I did that and it looks great. It's like an immediate result and it's an immediate satisfaction. And then you have more motivation to go on with your day and do bigger things for adults and for kids. So make your bed in the morning. That's a very good routine. And the most important part is to lead by example, because sometimes parents have double standards for themselves and for their kids. You know, they expect the kids to organize, but then, you know, the kids are, you know, entering the kitchen, for example, and it's not organized and it's cluttered, or, you know, they walk into the garage, you know, when they see a lot of mess. And then, you know, they do not feel like, oh, why should I do that? You know, so lead by example. That's the most important thing. And it's contagious. You know, if you're going to be organized, your kids are going to be organized, not necessarily immediately, but it will be there in the back of their minds and they will value that. Yeah.
I love that. I love how your tips actually teach the kids and the family to adopt tidy habits. Not just doing it for them. Honestly, it might even be easier to just tidy up yourself.
Oh yeah.
And just go on. But yeah, just teaching. And there's an aspect, an element of teaching and educating them. And that in itself helps them to develop how and why it's so important to tidy up and organize the home. So yeah, I just really like how you bring in the educating and learning aspect of it.
And the most important part is to be positive about it. Like anything mm-hmm. else you teach your kids, like if they do not know how to ride the letter A, for example, or if they do not know how to ride a bike or anything else that you want to teach them, you're lowering your expectations, you're being patient. The same with organizing. So be patient, be positive. And you know what, even if you're tidying up with them and you're doing most of the job, if you're involving them in that, that makes a difference.
I love that. We talked so much about this whole decluttering of spaces, especially the playroom, and you touched on the bedroom, but I do know that closets are a problem area for a lot of us. And I know we don't want to talk about it, but I think it's a great question to ask you if there's a system that you recommend our mothers or even just any family members or teenagers to adopt so that we can keep a more organized closet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. My closets are my favorites. And a lot of my clients, you know, what they say to me when they invite me to help them with their closets, I don't know if it might, you know, sound familiar to you or to any of our listeners, is that, you know, I have nothing to wear, although my closet is like full with, you know, clothes and overflows with clothes, or, you know, nothing fits me right. Nothing fits me the way I want, you know, to fit me. Or something like, it stresses me out every time I need to choose an outfit in my closet. You know, every time I open my closet, every time I walk in my closet. So what I recommend is to take out everything out of your closet and to sort it and to clear out any items that you do not wear or you do not need or you do not love. You know, anything that is worn out, that doesn't fit, or you know, any clothes that are waiting in our closets for their moments of glory, you know, since high school or since before we had a baby or since whenever, you know, because let's face it, they're most probably out of style. You will, even if you will fit in them at some point, you will not really wear them because they're not, you know, your style anymore. And I tend to compare clothes to ex-boyfriends. Like, you know, it's okay. You don't have to hate, you know, mm-hmm. the items that you do not wear or want anymore, because at some point of your life, they fitted you great, you know, and you loved them and you chose them. And that's fine that they do not fit you anymore. You know, you have a better fit these days, you know, at this point of your life. So do not feel guilty about, you know, getting rid of things that do not fit your life anymore. Yeah, that's actually funny. Do you know how many percent of clothes do you actually use out of your closet?
I don't know. How many?
About 20. Like on a daily basis, we have about 20% of clothes that we actually use out of all the things that we have in our closet. So imagine all those 80% that are there that we spend money on that are, you know, kind of cluttering, you know, our storage space and our lives. So when you do sort through your stuff, look for those 20%, like look for those items that you always reach for when you open your closet. Not because they're accessible, but because you really like them, you know, because they make you feel great when you wear them. Of course, there are, you know, more fancy clothes or more formal clothes that you would want to keep as well that you do not use on a daily basis. But make sure that you really like them and you will actually wear them if you will need to and not go and buy anything else. So declutter, sort through, and then organize everything, you know, in a neat and accessible way. And you know what? Imagine the feeling of having, you know, your closet containing only the things that you love and only the things that fit you great. And, you know, that the things that make you feel comfortable and the things that make you feel fabulous. Isn't that feeling priceless?
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. You don't have to be stressed every time that you need to choose an outfit, because everything that you will reach for in the closet will look great on you.
I love that.
And a very important rule is one in, one out. If you feel like buying something new, think if maybe you could get rid of it, some, you know, of an item from your closet that you do not wear anymore. So that's going to be a good rule, you know, for maintaining your closet organized and not, you know, cluttering it again with new things and keeping those things that you do not like anymore in the closet.
Mm-hmm. Is this where, I'm not sure if you are familiar with capsule wardrobe, the term.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
is that where it came from? Because I feel like it's now a new fad, I guess, to have a capsule wardrobe where you only keep your essential items. And it seems like that actually makes more sense, because you're anyways only going to use, like you said, the 20% of the mm-hmm. clothes that you have. And those are probably going to be the most essential ones where you wear to work or you hang out in and you just lounge in. Is that something that you recommend?
Absolutely. I mean, think about it. When you're packing, for example, to go somewhere on a vacation, on a trip, it doesn't matter. You actually do capsule wardrobe in your suitcase, right? Because mm-hmm. you're packing like two pairs of jeans, and then you pack all the, you know, tops that will match with those jeans, and maybe two pairs of shoes that would match with all those outfits, and maybe, you know, a couple of items that would be more fancy, and then a couple of items that will be more, you know, casual, I don't know, like the lounge or, you know, beach wear or whatever it is. So the same should go, you know, to our closets, but on a bigger scale, okay, because it's not a suitcase and it should fit, you know, more occasions than just a trip or, you know, a vacation. Yeah, but think of it like that, kind of like that. Yeah.
Cool. Great. Thank you. You really provided such valuable tips and just experiences and stories and how you came about where you are. And I really thank you for that. And we're already at our closing questions that I ask all guests on the podcast. So what's one last piece of advice you would like to pass on to our mothers who are listening to this show?
Oh, so I think that the most important thing to remember is that, as I said before, the less you have, the less you have to organize. And the less you have, then the more time you have to spend with, you know, your family or your friends or even yourself. So the less you have to organize, it's kind of the more life you have to live, right? Because it just clears your life and your well-being to actually enjoy, you know, your time with doing whatever you would like to do and not what you have to do. I actually believe that, you know, for example, inviting a home organizer into your house or taking some kind of, you know, help to outsource that, it's empowering, you know, because we tend to believe that we can do it all, you know, and then we feel burned out and then we feel tired and then we feel like we don't have the time and the energy for other things. So keep in mind that you do not have to do it all the time. You can get help whenever you need it, and it's fine. And it's just empowering for you. It's not depowering, you know, because some people tend to think, oh, if I need help, that means that I'm unable to do that. No, you're perfectly able to do that. But it's about prioritizing. Where do you want to put your time?
Exactly. I agree with, reaching out for help. I know moms are superheroes, but moms can't be good at every single thing in this world. So, yeah, outsourcing and really inviting talent from other people who are better at other things and seeing that and watching that grow. That's amazing.
Sometimes you're really good at tidying up, but you know what? Don't you have better things to do?
Exactly. It goes back to the priority list, right? Yeah. Okay. What does motherhood mean to you in one word?
Oh, that's a powerful question. I think that motherhood is kind of, you know, a million little things that, like puzzle pieces that make you realize who you actually are, and, you know, like lessons about life and yourself, and not what you want to do, but who you want to be as a person. I think it's like a magnifying glass on ourselves.
I like that. Okay, where can everyone find you?
So my company is called Tidy Our Home, and I actually have social media pages that you can actually check out and see my projects and reach me out there. You can go on www.tidyourhome.com or look me up on Facebook on Tidy Our Home Home Organizing, or on Instagram, which I started just recently. I was not a social media person because my services usually go like word of mouth. But recently during COVID, you know, I started, you know, I don't know, explore the Instagram more. So so now I have an Instagram account that you could also visit. It's Tidy Our Home. And I will be happy to see you there.
Awesome. I'm so glad that you are now coming into the social media presence, because all the tips that you've shared today were so helpful. I actually can't wait to rewind and listen again, because everything that you've said really bleeds into many other aspects of our lives. And I'm so happy that you shared all of that. So thank you so much for coming today.
Thank you so, so, so much, Gloria. I think this talk was very meaningful, not just, you know, to all the moms, but also for me, you know, because I think that sharing this, this knowledge of mine, you know, and this, you know, just sharing the state of mind of the peacefulness that you gain from organizing, I think it's super important, especially for moms that, you know, our lives are super hectic.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Gloria.
If you liked this episode of this podcast, I'd love to hear from you. Please subscribe, rate, and leave a review, and be sure to share with your friends. Thanks again, and I hope you join me again on the next episode of A Healthy Glow Podcast.